Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
You need your little card with Psalm 63. And if you want, you'll benefit from having a highlighter. I've got light orange, deep olive green, skin white, and French vermilion. Skin white isn't going to help you a lot, but anyway, if you want any one of those, no swapping. No, we're not having that. No. Are you an orange one? Okay. Right, there's anarchy breaking out over here. Okay, so we're going to do something a little bit different this evening. We are in the middle of a sermon series called Life Together. And it's a series of teaching based on a book by a man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Second World War German theologian. And in fact, quite personally relevant to me, he was part of the same movement that my great-grandfather was part of. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this book, and really it's been appreciated by many, many different people over time, describing what life in community is like and what's important about it. This is like an extension, this one, of the last talk that we gave. So let me just replay the last two that we've been thinking about. So two Sundays back, we talked about the day together. What Bonhoeffer meant by that is the importance of actually gathering with other believers to worship. How significant it is when we are in the same place at the same time, focused on the Lord. Then last week, we had the day alone. Natasha was teaching on that. If you missed it, it's an excellent piece of teaching. And what I'm going to be doing today is kind of assuming what we did last week. So do catch up on that. The day alone is like the opposite, right? So the day together is worshiping God with others. The day alone refers to our time one-to-one with God. And what I thought we'd do to just help us a little bit with this is today, rather than having some more teaching on that, and it's great what we had last week, lots of inspiration and guidance, today what we do is a worked example. So we're actually going to have a go at doing the day alone. Okay, you're there with the scriptures, and extra aid of my evocative picture at the bottom there to sort of get you on your way. And we're going to have a go at engaging with this psalm together, individually though, in the same place, but really our own minds and the text. And the way this is going to work is, first of all, I'm going to give you a couple of principles. And there's nothing particularly sacred about these. They're sort of, it's a sort of approach that's been used by a number of different people with a slight adjustment. You might find it useful. You might have other approaches. You might use an app to help you with your daily devotions. That's fine. I'm just trying to help you see that actually you can open the Bible on your own and get real spiritual refreshment from it. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through a little method that I've used and others have used, and then we're going to apply that method. And we're going to do it in a way that you probably wouldn't do on your own, but just because repetition helps, we're going to sort of run the method four times. Okay, just briefly each time. And that gives me a chance to walk you through it once more explicitly, then with just a little bit of guidance, and then you have a couple of goes just yourself. Okay, so let me start off with just a thought from Bonhoeffer as we go into this. Now, listen, last week was absolutely brilliant. It was a really great example of teaching that makes you want to spend time alone, but doesn't make you feel bad about not doing it. I may be about to undo that because Dietrich Bonhoeffer is quite, he's strong on this stuff. But I really love the challenge in this quote. This is what he said. Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. He will only do harm to himself and to the community. Alone you stood before God when he called you. Alone you had to answer that call. Alone you had to struggle and pray. And alone you will die and give an account to God. You cannot escape from yourself. God has singled you out. Powerful stuff. He's saying, look, you may be a believer in community. Thank the Lord for that. But you are nothing less than yourself alone with God. And you must really pay attention to that. And in fact, if you don't pay attention to that, the kind of person you're going to be in community is not that great either. What a challenge. So let's have a go at coming to the Lord alone. Here is my little five-step thing, and it rhymes, hopefully, to help you. Okay, here we go. Five steps. Stay, survey, weigh, obey, and pray. Yay, you finished. Now, you may have seen two to four before. I've kind of added one. Let me just very quickly explain to you what these different steps mean. Next slide, please. First of all, stay. Before you even get into the business of reading scripture, just stop. Take a moment to consider the Lord is here. He is with me in this moment. He is real and he speaks. Before you dive into hearing him, remember that he's actually there. Next, survey. This is basically the question, what does the text say? You're going to read the text. We've already done that this evening. But actually, we want to get a little bit further than that. What is the message of this text? And these kind of questions are really helpful. What's the story behind the text? What's the argument, if there is one? What are the repeated words, themes, and patterns? Survey. Next one. Weigh. This is where you get to the question of what does it mean? You know what it says. What does it actually mean? What does it tell me about what God is like? What does it tell me about what Jesus is like? What does it tell me about what I'm like and my world? That's way. Next, obey. Obey. The scriptures are not written just for our entertainment. They're written for our instruction. So this one is asking those kind of questions. What am I supposed to do? What commands are in there? What warnings are there to heed? Is there an example here to follow? Is there an attitude that I'm being commended to adopt? Obey. And finally, pray. When we engage with the scriptures, it's not just a reading comprehension exercise like you did in primary school. It is an engagement with the living God. So after you've thought through, and there is some analysis and learning that needs to happen, that you're not complete at all until you've actually engaged with it spiritually and brought it to the Lord in prayer. So what am I going to say to God? It may be that I want to tell him something about who he is, turn back praise to him. It may be that I want to ask him for something. There are requests, there are needs that I have that the message has revealed to me. Okay, so there are my five steps. Stay, survey, weigh, obey, pray. Right, with that in mind, let's crack on to Psalm 63. Okay, we are going to break this psalm up into four sections. I've put some gaps in there to help you. They're also going to be on the screen. By the way, that's a great first thing for you to do if you've got a bit of a reading. Just break it up into sections so you know it's like bite-sized chunks. Otherwise, it's a bit overwhelming. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is take verse 1. Okay, and I'm going to talk you through, and this is the most talking I'm going to do. After this, I'm going to let you do a little bit more. I'm going to talk you through how I might approach this. One last thing by way of sort of excuse or explanation. I actually haven't done a huge amount of thinking about this, and I did that deliberately because I'm not trying to, I don't want to be sort of take the rabbit out the hat this evening. Everyone's like, oh, great, brilliant. Well, you've done that. You know, you've read a million commentaries before the evening. Well, I'm not going to do that in the morning. I want to give you an example of what it's like just you've woken up, you've had your coffee, like you haven't got that much time, and then it's work. Can I get anything out of the scriptures now without too much preparation? Okay, so I'm going to come to this text right here. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Well, the wonderful thing about these verses, if we start with stay, is that they give us the stay. It starts with God. You, God, are my God. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. I'm going to think that the Lord himself is my Lord. He's not just some kind of distant deity. He's the one who cares about me, the one I've known for so many years of my life. I'm encouraged by that. I'm really, that's a precious truth to me. He's there. He's present with me right now. That's how the psalmist felt. That's how I feel. Stay. Survey. I'm going to look at this piece of text and try and work out what's going on here. It says at the top, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. I remember that there was a time, a hard time in David's life when he wasn't yet in charge of the people of Israel. He was running around in Judah. I have some recollection about the fact that it was quite difficult. He was often on the run, being hunted. So it was obviously a difficult time, and he's under pressure. And I know David is a king in the Old Testament. He's kind of famous for the psalms he writes, his attitude towards God. And I can really see that coming out here. Earnestly I seek you, he says. I thirst for you. He's got this real longing for the Lord. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. Well, I'm imagining that he was in the Middle East. So, perhaps this was something he thought when he was one of those caves hiding from the people who were chasing him. And he looked out this arid land. He's like, this is bad, but that's how I feel in my heart. That's helping me think about my survey. Okay, way. What does this mean? What does it tell me about God? It's making me think that God is someone who can satisfy me. It's making me realize that the same way that I feel when I'm really thirsty and I haven't had anything to drink, and then I drink and I just feel so relieved and so refreshed, that I could have that kind of experience with God. And that's a real encouragement to me, but it's also a bit of a challenge to me. Have I even realized that I'm thirsty? Do I know the Lord can satisfy? And that leads me to obey. There's no specific command here, but there's a model. I really want to be a God seeker. I want to be someone who goes after God. I would love to be like David, really earnestly seeking him day by day. And that inevitably leads me on to pray. Lord, I want to have the same attitude as David. Actually, Lord, I'm going to pray this to you right now. Lord, my whole being longs for you. I'm longing to be satisfied by you. I want to have that kind of heart that searches for you and seeks you. Okay, you get it? Right. Okay, now your turn. Okay, so next one. If we can. Next slide. Thank you very much. So this is, from verse 2. What I'd like you to do, you've got the five steps on the side there. We've done our stay, okay? I want you to take your pen, and I want you to have a go and see what you can get out of these verses. It's going to be building on what you've done already. Have a look at do a bit of survey. See what you find in this text. What are the themes that are kind of jumping out at you? Perhaps write in next to the text, if you like, what you think it means. Have a think about what it means to obey it. And then you might want to write a little prayer or pray a prayer in your heart. Okay, 3 minutes for this. Go. Just get the best you can out of it, yeah? This is not like you're not writing an essay. You don't have to hand this in at at university. This is just you in the morning, a few minutes with the scriptures. It just turn whatever thoughts you've had so far just to prayer. I'll give you 20, 30 seconds. Just take whatever it is the Lord's been teaching you and just intentionally speak to him. Ask, tell him what's on your heart. Okay. Let's wrap that one up there. Now, I would love to just hear briefly, okay, and this is obviously not a competition, but this is just a chance to sort of see how the Spirit is moving amongst and teaching us. I'd love to hear where your minds have gone. So does anyone want to share a thought that bubbled out for them from this piece of scripture? I watched you. You were all at it. Okay, so no pretending. Yeah. Praising God boldly, even when life doesn't look good. Thank you, Dion. Yeah, God's will.
Yeah, I have seen you in the sanctuary. You are here. It's not just you. So anytime I'm here, you are here.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, when we come to those places that we meet God, like David did in the temple, God is really there. I've seen you in the sanctuary. Yeah, David.
It's like he's satisfied, like fully in God, like even though he's in the desert.
Well, what else? Anyone a little bit further back? Yeah, Jeremy. Brilliant. Love it. Jeremy's turning it into prayer. Love that. Let's have one or two more thoughts. Any more? Yes, Charmaine. So Charmaine's reminding us that out of the text, we have this sense that David has looked, he's already experienced God's goodness before. And that's the thing that's sustaining him now. Perhaps that makes us think back, Lord, I want to think back again to the things that you've done in my life to help me for today. Let's have one more. Yes, Frank. Yeah. Brilliant. A challenge for us to think, what does it mean to be really understanding God's power and his glory? Okay, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. So let's get to the next section. And just before we do that, I want to just make a little observation here under the way. You know, when we come to the scriptures, it's not like there's a bunch of stuff that we know and what we're looking for now is, can we add to that? Often, what we see in the scriptures is what we already know is the case. Bonhoeffer put it like this: it's not necessary that we should discover new ideas in our meditation. Often, this only diverts us and feeds our vanity, you know, because you sit there going, look at me, I just worked out something new. Isn't that brilliant? He's like, no, forget that. He says, it is sufficient if the word, as we read and understand it, penetrates and dwells within us. As Mary pondered in her heart the things that were told her by the shepherds, as what we have casually overheard follows us for a long time, sticks in our mind, occupies, disturbs, or delights us, so in meditation, God's word seeks to enter in and remain with us. I love that encouragement just to, perhaps it's something you already knew. And today you're going to discover it again. Okay, here we go. Let's go for the next chunk. Beginning at verse 6. Again, we'll just take 3 minutes with this. You might want to go through that same rhythm as we go. Okay, wherever you've got to, just use these last half minute or so to turn what you've got there into prayer, just between you and the Lord. All right, let's wrap it up there. And I'd love to just do the same just for this one. And I tell you what, given the time, I think let's make that the last of the chunks we're going to do. You can take home your little cards and you can do the same thing again with the last few verses of Psalm 63. But I don't want to miss the opportunity to just hear a little bit what you've gleaned from the scriptures. So perhaps could someone just give us a bit of an idea, what, particularly under the way, what does this text mean for me? What does it tell me about God? What does it tell me about Jesus? What does it tell me about myself? Anyone want to share what they're getting out of it? Yeah, go on, Kevin. my Redeemer and friend, a solid rock to cling to in a time of trouble. Thank you, Kevin. That's where the scriptures are taking you. David.
There's a wonderful cycle of interaction between David doing something and then God responding, and then David responding to that and God responding. So David thinks about God, remembers God. God is David's help. David clings to God. God is the right hand of
God. Yeah.
Yeah,
love it, love it. Thank you so much. The encouragement, there's a relationship here being played out. Good, anyone else want to dive in? Yes, Sean. Yeah. Right, so there's a lot about what goes on in the night. Perhaps like me, you have that thing where you wake up at 2:30 and you're like, oh no, my mind's now going to go, and you know, it's going to be 4:30. Wow, wouldn't it be great to be like David? And actually, when you're awake in the night, turn your eyes and your heart to the Lord. Brill. A couple of, yes, Sheridan. Yeah. Love it. God is a beautiful picture of protection. Thank you, Sheridan. Okay, one or two more. Yeah, go on, Eliza.
To remember that the Lord is the same yesterday and today, we wait.
Yeah. Right. Right. So God doesn't change, and therefore he's worth holding on to when everything else is. Thank you so much. One more. This side has been quite quiet. Renu, go on. Brilliant. We're getting a whole character of God coming out here. Thank you, Rainier. God's protection. And Rainier is going in lots of different directions in the Psalms, and sometimes that can be helpful as well. You make the connections with other places and verses in the scripture. Okay, listen, I think we've done really well there. I'm just going to sort of wrap that up now in a moment, in a prayer. Thank you for your engagement with this. I hope this has been encouraging. I realize for some of us, this may be second nature. This may be what you do every day. For others, perhaps this is something new, and I hope that you feel that you've got a bit of confidence as to how you might go about it. Of course, there are plenty of resources out there that can help you. There are devotionals that will walk you through the path itself, much more easy in some ways. But I really wanted today to give you a sense that actually I could read the scriptures myself. I actually don't need a crutch of someone else. In fact, I could hear the Lord speak to me directly through this. One last thing to say just before we wrap this up. In prayer. You know, sometimes you read the scriptures and it's just wonderful. And, you know, you finish it and you're like, Lord, you have transformed my day. You know, I woke up grousing and just grumbling about the day. And now I'm on cloud 9. I know you're there. I'm going to be serving you all day. Like, you know, that colleague I was about to kind of flip out on, I'm now just full of love for them. And it's just going to be a great day. And there are other times where, frankly, the spiritual benefit of spending time with the scriptures feels about like on the level of brushing your teeth. It's like nothing has happened. And that can be incredibly discouraging. You know, you're like, Lord, you know, I gave you 7 minutes of my day or whatever it is, 11 and a half. And, you know, my eyes were drooping. And frankly, I could have done with the sleep anyway. And I've got nothing to show for it. I just want to really encourage you, even through those periods of dryness spiritually, keep going. Keep going. You know, sometimes it's only the battling through those periods and the clinging that actually is the thing that helps you break through. Remember how the Psalms go. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Have you ever thought about what that means? The psalmist is talking to his soul and commanding it to praise God. Sometimes it takes the effort of putting ourselves in the place of praise before we actually get there. And if you never put yourself there, you probably won't ever get there either. So I want to encourage you, for the days and the weeks when it's not really flowing, just keep going a day at a time and come to the Lord. Let's spend some time in prayer. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there's no water. Lord, thank you for meeting with us this evening. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. We thank you for the way that you have quenched our thirst, our desire for encounter with you. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus, we have the greatest thirst quencher there ever was. Thank you for the promise of living waters from him. Lord, we pray that you'd make us daily dependent on him. And please give us day by day as we pick up the scriptures and long to meet you, the experience of seeking and searching for you and the fulfillment of receiving an encounter and satisfaction from you in turn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.